Continuing with our look at Islamic ethics and education, and focusing on the letter that Imam Ali alayhi salam writes to his son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, on the way back from Siffin, when he's camped at Al-Hadhirin, we've been looking at the various aspects that Imam describes to Imam Hassan alayhi salam, very graphically, actually, when he tells him about how he must utilize this world and the ni'mas that are available in this world to be able to gain his or her his full potential in the hereafter. Let's continue from where we left off, because he tells Imam, وَعَلْجِ نَفْسَكَ فِي أُمُورِكَ كُلِّهَا إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِكَ. Trust in God in all your affairs. In other words, resign yourself to Allah in everything. فَإِنَّكَ تُلْجِوهَا إِلَىٰ كَحْفٍ حَرِيزٍ وَمَانِعٍ عَزِيزٍ. Because then you will be resigning yourself to a secure shelter and a strong protector. So let's look at the principle of trust and reliance in Allah. And maybe a hadith explains it so much better. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks the angel Jibreel about trust. And Jibreel answers, and this is with the inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Al-ilmu bi-anna al-makhluq wa la yadhur wa la yanfa'u wa la yu'ti wa la yamna' واستئمال اليأس من الخلق فإذا كان العبد كذلك لم يعمل لأحد سوى الله ولم يرجو ولم يخف سوى الله ولم يطمع في أحد سوى الله فهذا هو التوكل. The truth behind the principle of trust and reliance on Allah is that the human being should know that creation, no creature, the creature is neither harmful nor profitable, neither gives nor prohibits. When you do not rely on people, but rely on Allah, you will fear no one. You will trust in no one but Him. That is the principle of trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, but tawakkul has different degrees. We have a stage of tawakkul where we put our affairs, for example, in the hands of a lawyer. We have a degree of trust when a child trusts his or her mother for protection. And there we deliberately put our affairs in somebody else's hands. But there's another sort of trust. Now look at this one. There was a nomad that released his camel and said, well, I trust in Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, first tie it and then have trust in God. The poet says, said the Prophet aloud, bind the knees of the camel, but have trust in God. If you rely on Allah, have it in your work. First cultivate, then have your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what I've been saying all this time. Do your best and then trust in Him. You know, we find the third phrase of tawakkul, which happens in the case of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Namrud prepares this fire and wants to cast Ibrahim into it. Jibreel says, do you need any help? And Ibrahim says, God bless you, but God is sufficient for me. Mikael came, he says, I have rain and water at my disposal. And Ibrahim refuses. And like that, many, many divine forces, many angelic forces come and ask him for that. And then Jibreel said, at least ask God to issue the appropriate order. And Prophet Ibrahim says, his knowledge about me will make my question irrelevant. That is because Ibrahim knew he had done his best for that particular case, and he knew now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would do the best for him. You know, Quran says, مَنْ يَتَوَقَّلَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Whoever trusts in Allah, He is sufficient for him. When Imam Qadhim alayhi salam was elucidating on this ayah, he said the principle of trust has degrees. One degree is to trust in Allah in almost all your affairs and have consent in what He does to you and know that He will bestow upon you what you deserve. He is the commander. So trust in Him and trust nobody else. We will look at this subject in greater detail, inshallah, over the coming months. But let's continue with the letter and see what Imam Ali alayhi salam tells Imam Hassan. He He continues to tell him, he says, وَأَخْلِصْ فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ لِرَبِّكْ فَإِنَّ بِيَدِهِ الْعَطَاءَ وَالْحِرْمَانِ وَأَكْثِرِ الْإِسْتِخَارَ. He says, when asking God for anything, be sincere. Ask Him only. That's because He is generous. Ask Him for a lot of good. And then he tells him that before doing anything, think about it and then select amongst the options. So Leb looks at the significance points in this statement. The first thing is, be sincere in your du'as. Quran itself says, وَادْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Call upon Him being sincere to Him in obedience. This is Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, Ayah 29. You know, it's got to come right from inside. We can't just ask because for the sake of it or because the du'a has it. Feel it. Then he tells his son, ask him for an abundant amount of goodness. You know, Allah has, there are no limits for him. There's no need to be stingy. Ask him for the best, a lot, but a lot of righteousness and a lot of goodness. And then Imam reminds him, he says, وَتَفَحَّمْ وَسِيَّتِي. Try to comprehend my will. وَلَا تَذْحَبَنَّ أَنْكَ صَفْحًا. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْقَوْلِ مَا نَفَعَ. He tells him, don't discard it. You know, don't leave it. Don't turn away from it. Because the best of saying is that which benefits. By extension, Imam Ali alayhi salam is telling him that, you know, sometimes a will is taken as a ceremonial thing. Listen to this, take it into account, act on it, because it can only be beneficial if you act on it. So he's emphasizing to his son that he must take this nasihat, this will, this wasiyat seriously. Inshallah, we will continue with the will tomorrow.